Before I read our New Testament lesson from Acts 2, I just want to say that there's two people here who graduated yesterday, and my daughter didn't get home till 4:30 in the morning, so I'm impressed. That's all I have to say. I already texted Abby Jo to be like, there's Rachel and Jack are here. Where are you? Yeah. And another family that I won't call out because I'll embarrass them, but I think they just slipped out. They came dressed in their baseball gear, ready to go. So it's good for a pastor to see because that means this space, this time is meaningful. If Rachel and Jack start to fall asleep, y'all, bump them, okay? I'm just impressed. But our New Testament lesson today does come from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. The story of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Almighty God, you know us better than we know ourselves. By your word, give us wisdom. By your spirit, grant us healing. Set us free to serve you with love. We ask this through the one who heals in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And as this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had a clergy friend recently end up in the hospital for just some observation after a health scare. And when she was settled in at the hospital, she sent a group text, all clergy on this text, to some of us, letting us know what had happened. And the responses from those of us on the text, what can we do? Do you want us to come stay with you? We can take shifts. One of us can stay the night. What do you need? Have you eaten? Can we bring you snacks? What kind do you want? It was a show of solidarity and a reminder to her that she was not alone. Once she was home, meals were provided, visits made. It was this beautiful picture of church. Church at its best. Church as presence. Church as one who shows up. I thought about this as I reflected on our Pentecost celebration today, on Acts 2, the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I thought about this and all the times church has shown up in my life and in the life of those I love. You can't help but think about those long, painful nights at the hospital. One of those nights for me was the night of my parents' accident. I remember how full the waiting room was, not just with my family, which takes up a very large room, but men who had served with my dad in the Kairos prison ministry, friends of my parents and of mine, encircling me as I waited and waited, were six clergy friends. My uncle, also a United Methodist preacher, gathered us all together at one point and jokingly said, "It'd be a shame to have this many preachers in one room and not pray." So we did. My phone never stopped going off all night as people kept letting me know they were there. That little heart response became my best friend. I think about the following days as my friends literally rallied to aid me in planning my father's service, aid in my mother's care, the packed church, more food than I had ever seen in one place, the weeks and months that followed as this church sent cards and food and gift cards. I literally have a basket at home full of all those cards. I regret I never got around to writing thank you cards for the army of people who showed up for us. But it took me almost a year to even get to a place to read those cards, if I'm honest. Another night I think of, the night I had to join a clergy friend as she waited to see if her young son would survive after a tragic accident. Once again, the hospital space was packed with family, friends, clergy, and it stayed packed in the days and weeks ahead as clergy continued to show up. I think about this past Wednesday when I returned to my home church to lead a workshop they had come asked me to do, and I was surrounded by people who watched me grow up, who continue to support me, who know my name, and how that space still just feels like home. Although one person did walk up and say, "I graduated with you," and I'm not going to lie, I had no idea who they were. I pretended like I did, though. Hope they're not watching. I think about yesterday and my daughter's graduation and the number of gifts and cards that she has received from family and friends, from individuals from the various places we have lived as a clergy family. So many people who have played a part in her life and who chose to show up simply by sending a card, who chose to be present as she crossed a threshold. I think about that comment Rachel Held Evans made in her book, Searching for Sunday, a book about her own faith deconstruction, grappling with faith, her questions, her doubt, a book about her choice to leave church for a season as she went through this process. She says in the book that as she made this decision, she was talking to her husband, they were walking away, and she thought, "Who's going to bring us food when we have a baby?" Hopefully people still did. In other words, who's going to show up and be my people in the significant moments in my life? Because this is church at its best. Not whether or not we agree on all the rules and scripture interpretation. All of these, to me, are this beautiful picture of church at its best, church as presence, church as ones who show up. I thought about all of this as I reflected on Acts 2 and the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day the Holy Spirit shows up. And the Spirit's coming is seen and heard. It's like wind and fire, symbols throughout Scripture of God's presence. God showing up. And Peter tries to explain this scene to all those around him as they sneer and poke fun. Look at those fools. They must be drunk, for why would you act like that? Peter stands with the 11, raises his voice, addresses the crowd, uses the prophet Joel to say, "No, this, my friends, is not because those among us are drunk. This is because God's Holy Spirit has been poured out among us. The Holy Spirit showed up. God is here, moving among us and within us." If I had to think of one way to capture the wisdom of Scripture, as this has been our theme since August, it would be redemptive presence. The story of Scripture is one of God choosing to be present with and for and to God's people over and over and over again in order to redeem and to restore and to heal. We see this from the beginning pages as Scripture opens and God in love creates, calls that creation good, and places God's own image as part of who and how we are. To God choosing a person, Abraham and Sarah, blessed to be a blessing, then God working through a particular people so that God through us could be a redemptive presence in this world God so loves. To the prophets, being a voice for God's dream, God's vision, God's desire for how we are to be one to another, how we are to treat the most vulnerable among us. To Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us to literally show us the way, show us how to be human through his life of sacrificial servanthood. To the church, the body of Christ here and now. To the gift of the Holy Spirit, present and active in creation, counselor, comforter, advocate, the power and presence of God moving, encircling, swirling, dancing, surrounding, coming and going as the wind comes and goes. We can't see it, but we can see the effects. I'll admit, Pentecost does present a challenge every year as we reflect on God's presence as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Because if we're honest, we all admit that we find God's presence elusive. We can't pin God down as much as we would like to be able to. Even in Scripture, God's presence carries this wide array. Sometimes divine presence is obvious. It's right there, like wind and fire. Other times it's very elusive. The book of Job comes to mind. Other times God's presence is disruptive, it's confrontational. Sometimes it's gentle, reassuring. Sometimes it's oppressive, even absent. As Jesus himself from the cross speaks, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the truth is, I can't prove God's presence to anyone. I freely admit, I have my own moments where God feels far away, elusive, an enigma, even absent. And while I've had my own experiences of God in my life, my own moments of being held by the Holy Spirit, I can't make an experience of God happen for someone else. But I can be present. I can show up. I can strive to be the best version of church, the body of Christ, who sits in the hospitals on those long, painful nights, who knows someone's name and provides a space that feels like home, who celebrates milestones, a version of church that is someone walks away because they're struggling with their own season of doubt. What they worry about is losing someone bringing them food when needed, not whether or not we agreed on all the rules or scripture interpretation. Redemptive presence. Showing up so that no one journeys alone. Showing up so that life and love and tears and joy can be shared. Showing up so that the broken places within us and within our lives maybe don't feel so broken, so heavy. Showing up because we learn more about who God is and who we are to be when we choose to do life together. We can learn more together than we ever can alone in our safe little bubbles. I was reading one theologian's commentary on this passage, and I thought this truth from the story was significant as we think about the power of presence. In Acts 2, we see that the most dramatic sign of the Spirit is the miracle of mutual understanding. Women and men, slaves, free, Jews, Gentile, proselytes, people from every known land and ethnicity participate in the gift of the Spirit. A miracle of recognition transpires across impossible boundaries of class, ethnicity, and religion. People joyfully communicate. It's as if they are intoxicated, as they are, but not with wine. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the story of Acts 2, the birthday of the church, changes how individuals are present to and for and with one another. There's a mutual understanding as they share space. It's significant that the primary sign of the inspiration of the Spirit, the founding event of the Christian community, is the ability to speak and understand within a diversity of people. It seems as if Acts 2 is saying that the fruit of the Spirit is understanding across boundaries as we are present one to another. Come, Holy Spirit, come.